Hello and welcome back to the Victim to Victor podcast. My name is Anu and I'm your host. In today's podcast episode, I have a beautiful guest, Maya. Maya Joshi, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Lovely.
I'm good.
So Maya has been a very special friend of mine for the past year or so. She has a beautiful story to share with the world, and this is one of the reasons why I invited her on, because she is a prime example of a victim turned into a victor. Yay! So Maya, why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners and also let us know your background, history, and, you know, who you are.
So hi everybody, I'm Maya Joshi. It's been, since I was born really, I've been going through experiences of life as what we do normally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody has an experience in life and we choose to take it however we want. So you either become a victim or you become a survivor from an early age. And what I feel is that, so a bit of background for me was my dad brought all three daughters up on his own up until the age I was eight, as my mum left us for another man.
Okay.
So in the 70s, it wasn't really heard of an Asian man having full custody of three children.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we didn't really have many Asian people that actually helped us because they just thought it was, you know, oh my God, safe the daughters turn out like the mum. And then you were already labelled from a young age.
Yeah.
And we as surviving women need to take these labels off because unless you really think, oh yeah, I'm a victim, I feel sorry for myself, my mum left me, so I'm going to do, you know, you need to take that label off, but, you know, stick all the post-it notes that you've got on you and rip them off. You don't need them anymore. We don't need to be labelled as that person anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and so I grew up with, being a single father, bringing up three daughters. It wasn't easy for whether you're a single parent as a mother. It's not easy, just like it's not easy for a single father. So I'm not going to say, oh, one's worse than the other, because it isn't. You know, we all have an understanding. So, yeah, so I went through in my life of rejection. Because I thought, because my mother rejected me, I thought everybody would reject me. So I didn't have a good relationship with women for years because of knowing that my mum rejected me, so anybody else can.
Yeah.
So I went through that, and then we went through growing up. It was like Asian people, and I've got to talk about Indian people. I'm Indian myself, and it's what's happened to me that I'm saying. It's not what's happened to other people. This is my story of what's happened to me. And like, people knew, like, she'd had an affair. People knew what kind of person she was, but nobody had the courtesy to tell my dad, this is what she's doing. And it's hurtful. And then in the Hindu system, you've got a caste system in itself, and then you're having to prove yourself in the caste system that you're the holy one, if you get what I mean. It's like, so I'm in the Asian caste system, I'm a Brahmin, which is meant to be the highest. Therefore, I don't believe in the caste system because I'm no different to you and you're no different to me, you know, and that's how I see it. In that caste system, it's like they look down on you. You know, if you're a Patel or, they look down on you, or a Wanya, they're the people who have loads of tattoos on their hands and they've got these little round dot of tattoos. And it's like, oh, you're beneath me. And I think, no, you're not. You know, and it's like, it was really weird growing up of how people really were.
Yeah.
And it's like, first you have the stigmatization of your mother leaving. Then the second stigma is of how to identify yourself as a person, as a child growing up. And then throughout my life, there was disability around me. And then it was like, go on, sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, could you explore more about the disability?
Mm. So one of the examples were my dad remarried when I was 8. Mm-hmm. And she had muscular dystrophy, schizophrenia, and bipolar.
Wow.
So we never knew nothing about this. So dad had gone in the op and made himself redundant, you know, took somebody, you know, married them. Okay. And he told them that he told her that he had 3 daughters, not just one. He didn't want any false pretenses. So because he was so open, he thought they would be open.
Yeah.
And I used to remember she'd walk and she'd flick her foot out, which I now know it's called drop foot.
Oh.
So it's where you walk. So you know how we control our walk. So we walk like that.
Yeah.
So she lifted her leg up.
Okay.
So I thought, there's something wrong with the foot. And he was like, no, don't be so silly. They tell us. So all they said was, oh, yeah, she needs vitamins. Okay. So one day, 1982 or something like that, she came over, everything was fine. And then we noticed the dog's tail would hit and she'd fall. We thought, God, what's going on there? You know, and the way she moved, the way she got up off a chair was dead. It was different to how we would get up off a chair.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, then we realized eventually that she had muscular dystrophy and bipolar and schizophrenia.
Wow.
So as a child, I grew up with in that environment.
Yeah.
And her family was very negative towards her. So we look at the handicapped, not this is my handicapped sister. And I think, what are you doing? And then it was like, wait, come here, go on, pick her up. Come, pick her up. And then because the way she walked, and in Leicester, because I'm based in Leicester, so in Leicester you've got the Golden Mile, and you can walk up that Golden Mile, and people look at you because you have a disability. If I was to walk down the road with a white guy, a black guy, a Chinese guy, nothing. But you walk down the road with a disability, they stare at you.
Oh,
because I feel disability is very hidden in the Asian community.
It is, yeah.
You know, and it's like I said to you once, I was doing a care course and I was on a placement, and all of a sudden I walked into this room and then there was like 25 Down syndrome adults.
Wow.
Who were Indian. And I was like, oh my God. And I had a panic attack because I'd only seen one Down syndrome person in the whole of my life who was Indian.
Wow.
So I didn't know they existed, you know, and I realized then that it was like, oh, guess what? It's not happening. It's not, you know, this ain't really happening. So I now know there's disabilities hidden.
Okay.
And that's where I thought. And then I had had a car accident in my life and I ended up on crutches. And I walk down Melton Road and people stare at you. Or they'll be like, oh, what's up with your leg? Well, actually, I've damaged my spine.
Oh, God.
And then it's like, they stare at you. Even, it's like, it's that noticeable. Even children in a pushchair will stare at you.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it's just a taboo subject. You know, disability, mental health in the Asian community is, forget it. It doesn't
really
happen.
That's so sad.
I suffer with depression. Sorry, I know. I suffer with depression. I'm very open with my family. If I'm having a bad day, you don't need to, you can just see it. You see it in my eyes. And I'll just say, Dad, look, I'm really sorry. I'm having a bad day. I'll just do what I can do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really hard. And I think mental health is it's a hidden disability.
It is. Absolutely. Why do you think that is? Why is it so suppressed? What are they afraid of? It's okay.
No, no. It's just like it's growing up. You don't. It's like, see, different ethnics in the world. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the correct terminology, but different people handle disability different.
Yeah.
So it's like you're an embarrassment.
Shame.
That's what I felt, you know, and it is like shame upon my family.
Yeah,
you
know, it is.
You must have done something so bad in your past life. And then I used to say, hold on a minute. If I did something so bad in my past life, Is that why you say, you know, I suffer with depression? Is that why you say I've got a spinal injury? Yeah. Is that why you're saying my mum left me? And considering I'm in the Brahmin category. Mm,
high class.
High class. I'm not supposed to have anything wrong with me.
Mm,
you see what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, you know, you're diabetic. You can't see you're diabetic. You can't see heart attacks. You can't see if you... The biggest thing I ever saw was my GP said to me, sorry, he goes, when I first broke down and had my, and I said, if you think I'm depressed, he says to me, do you know what, sweetheart? Because there was a poster I saw in one of the practices he worked in years ago. Mm-hmm. One had a picture of a lady with a broken arm. The other had a picture of the same lady with nothing wrong with her.
Right.
So everybody went round her because she had a broken arm. But this other woman that had nothing wrong with her,
right.
You know, it didn't yes. show, it's hidden. You can't see a spinal injury. You can't see foot. And it's all hidden. And because it's like, and it is shame. It is, and I really feel strongly about it because it's like my stepmother, she was like, it was like, you know, it'd be like, don't show her to anybody. It's like, you know, like, I think I'm off on one now. So
nice. This is good.
We went on to this wedding. So her hands were like that. So they were like clawed. So she had no muscle. So what okay. I straightened her hand out so she could have Mendy done on her hand. So she felt part of the wedding. So it was her nephew's wedding.
Yeah.
And I was like, not one person held her hand open.
Wow.
Because it was like she had hands like that.
Yeah.
She couldn't move. All you had to do is pierce it back, hold it for a bit, let the Mendy dry. You know, there were little things like something like that. But the joy in her eyes was amazing.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yes, I'm wheelchair bound. I don't mind you pushing me. But
yeah.
Whereas her sister, her side of the family, she's a handicapped.
Wow.
And that's all I ever heard her say from the time I knew of them is she's a handicap. I said, don't you think she has a name before being disabled?
This is it's so judgmental, Maya. So what do you think needs to change? Do you think that the Asian culture can change?
We need to change. You know, it's as Michael Jackson says, it's only you in this world or something can make a better change with a man in a mirror. Okay. So the only way we can actually do it is by changing ourselves.
Yeah.
And be open with disabilities. Be open with, I know, guess what? I'm having a real crap time today. I've had a real hard day. Yeah. I feel a bit depressed. I'm sorry if it makes you feel sad, you think, oh, okay. Or you're rolling your eyes, whatever it is. Because not everybody's going to cope with depression.
So true.
You know, when you ask somebody, if I asked you, hi, Anu, how are you?
I'll tell you the truth.
Right. Oh, I'm not feeling too good. Okay, but have I got time to listen to that?
This is it. That's
what do our society say? Oh, hi, I'll see ya.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? Good. Oh, I see ya. Yeah, that's it.
So it's if you're so superficial. Ask somebody how they are, ask them and be prepared to hear it. Actually, I'm having a real bad day today. And if you're not interested, don't ask them how they are. Just say hi and bye. That's it.
Otherwise, what's the point in small talk when your heart's not in it?
And then I find that people don't look in their own house. They look at other people's houses.
Yeah. So and quick to judge, aren't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that depression could be in that family anyway.
Yeah.
Which it was. You know, my stepmom's family had, schizophrenia, depression, bipolar. Mm. It ran in their family. So to have that hidden is so wrong.
It is. And it's funny because, we're on about the topic of like suppression in our Asian culture. And I've been mentioning this quite a lot in previous podcasts about just the suppression around sexual abuse as well.
Yes.
Within their own households.
Yeah, I spoke to somebody yesterday and they said to me exactly what you said. They were raped at the age of 5 and the family knew, but they never did anything.
No.
So when you grow up with abuse, mm-hmm. and then you know, then you meet somebody who's abusive, it's a normal pattern.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the norm. It's not actually, sweetie, this is what you need to do. You know, how many Asian parents or Asian mothers speak about, do you know what, I can't do this no more. Your dad's hit me all my life and you children have seen it.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Because then you're then encouraging your son to do that or your daughters to do that.
Yeah.
If we as women can be stronger and actually say, do you know what, I don't deserve this.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up to be abused mm-hmm. by anybody. Or if my parents didn't abuse me, what gives you the right to abuse me?
Yeah, this is it.
Ask the question again. How many parents will take you back after if it was a love marriage?
Yeah.
How many parents would say it? How many parents would say, I told you so, he was no good for you?
Mm.
But do we really need to hear that?
No, we need support.
Yes, yeah. We're going to our parents say, Mom, Dad, this is what's happened, but you're the one who made your bed, lie in it. Unfortunately,
so sad.
This is day-to-day life. This is, sorry, it happens today.
It is.
Even today it happens. It's not.
Did you ever experience that yourself?
I had, I understand abuse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have an understanding of abuse. Yeah. And I have a lot of empathy for men, women who have been through abuse.
Yeah.
It is hard. It's not easy for the life of you, you know, to sit there and say, oh, it's only a slap. Oh, it's only a punch, you know.
It's not.
You know, there are women that sit there and say to you, do you know what? I'd rather be beat up than messed, you know, mental torture, you know, yeah. mental abuse. They would, because the mental abuse sticks with you.
Yeah, it does.
If you grew up like I did, bullied.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I'm talking about this bit, but I'm talking about it. So when we were little, we thought we didn't have enough food. Okay. So when growing up, my dad used to eat our leftovers. So he always made sure that the children ate yeah. and then he'd eat whatever was left.
Oh.
So in my growing up as a child, I always thought I didn't have enough.
Okay.
And the food bit is, I've not got enough, so I've got to eat.
Right,
okay. Because I might not get food again.
Yeah.
Even though I know there is a fridge full of food,
yeah.
there is a cupboard full of food, tin soup, you're yeah. not going to starve.
No.
But when you grow up thinking you've not got enough,
yeah,
you don't waste food.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
So true. So true. Yeah.
You like, you know, I was bullied as a kid. Oh, you fat, the B word. I was always big because I always felt I didn't have enough.
Okay. Yeah.
And it weren't till early later on in life that I realized actually, you've got enough.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like when I used to do stress eating. I was stress eating a lot. And okay. I'd stress eat. And it was like, I think the worst time I ever had was I could taste my food right up to my throat. Wow. And I felt sick to my stomach.
God, okay.
But I couldn't make myself sick because I'd be wasting food.
Yeah.
And that's the saddest bit about it. And yeah. I've now worked through things in life to sit there and say, do you know what? I can do this. I don't know what the word is, like disassociated yeah. myself yeah. stressed with food.
Okay.
So when I'm stressed,
that's good.
When I'm stressed, I don't go to the food anymore.
Okay.
So it's taken a lot to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to understand that I have enough. And some people who are listening to this may not understand that. And there might be some listeners that do understand that. And you know, don't be quick to judge a fat person, really.
Yeah, exactly. There's always some
person.
Yeah, there's always an underlying issue. I know that. And, you know, some, especially when they're sexually abused, women, they will comfort eat because it's just their safety net, isn't it? Food.
Because you probably think, oh, he only likes skinny women, so I'll put weight on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's the logic of it. So he won't want me.
Yeah.
You know, go to somebody else, but not me.
Yeah.
And you try and change yourself. You know, you change yourself mentally, physically. You know, you're always trying to please somebody. And when you go through abuse, the abuse is so hard, Anu, that you've got to remember it's about them.
Yeah.
It's excuses. Once again, all of it is excuses.
Yeah.
Oh, I hit you because I saw my dad hit my mom, but I'm not like him. He threw a punch, but I only slapped you. Minimize it. They minimize their abuse. They minimize their tactics.
Ah, yes.
And it's about then you of what, oh, maybe it's me then.
Yeah. And because you've obviously had a lot of experience working with domestic abuse, haven't you, and domestic violence. So what would you say were your biggest teachings from working with these women?
The biggest teachings I found was that, number one, find out about the Freedom Program.
Okay.
And understand so you don't go for another abuser.
Okay.
Understand the tactics of an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, I would say after that, your life is your own. And after doing all this work with women in domestic violence, you know, who have been abused, whether it's physical, mental, sexual, whatever the violence, the abuses, I've worked with women, and us women need to stand the ground as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need to remember that we are human as well.
Yeah.
And I found that there's not enough positivity in life when you've been through abuse. So my direction of change was I would love to work with women who have been abused and want to mend their life again.
Okay.
And that's not by counselling or trauma counselling, nothing like that. No. It's about life coaching.
Okay.
Life coach yourself to be a better person. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're on benefits. Let's help you budget your shopping.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you've got men that take, well, I'm just speaking about women in domestic abuse, not men.
Okay.
I just want to say that bit. I'm not saying men don't, but it's both ways. Okay.
Yeah.
And the men that have done the abuse take control, financial control of the women.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know how to do shopping. Well, let's learn how to do shopping.
Mm.
Let's learn how to budget. Let her stand on her own 2 feet.
Yeah.
And it's about, I'll be your capability partner and I will work through it with you.
Yeah.
I will show you there is life at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah.
You know, are you allowed to give an example?
Yeah. Just no names.
No. So as an example, a lady went on holiday. She came back off her holiday. This was her first holiday with her brother, parents, never done it before with her children.
Mm.
So she came back home. There was no shopping, what she called no shopping. And she didn't know what to cook the children.
Oh, okay.
So all I did was break it down once again. Right, let's see what's in your cupboards.
Yeah.
Let's see what meals you'd like to plan for the next 2 days for you and your children.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want a burger or whether you want something really healthy. Only the mum or dad knows what the children eat and what you're willing to eat.
Okay.
So she went to the, she looked in the cupboards, planned a meal. And then I says, get your piece of paper that you've planned that you need to buy stuff, put it in your work bag that you know you're going to take with you. And she felt so empowered.
Wow.
And something so simple means the world to somebody else.
Yeah,
you could take it for granted.
This is it. And this is where, you know, gratitude comes a long way, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Appreciating where what we have, how far we've come.
Yeah. Appreciate what we've got, appreciate what we have, appreciate teaching somebody else.
Mm.
Because I don't know, I sit and say, no, I don't know if I can teach somebody. But then you think, oh my God, you have taught somebody.
You have, yeah.
You know, you have shown somebody that that somebody was on stress at work was sick, and her problem seemed massive.
Okay.
It was so big for her, she couldn't handle it.
Right.
And so what I did was I said, right, let's list all your problems. And then I said, out of the 10 of the list, tell me what your priorities are. Give me just 3 priorities of your list. Tell me what the most important 3 priorities are. She did it.
Brilliant.
Then I broke it down again.
Yeah.
So it was understandable.
Okay.
Because it's okay breaking it down, but what do I do after that? Well, let's do it together.
Okay. That's very supportive of you.
And it sounds simple, but it is simple. We've just got to train our minds. It is simple.
It is, yeah. Wow. I love that. So what would you say has been your biggest regret to date?
Nothing.
Brilliant. Good answer.
Nothing. I do not regret nothing that has happened in my life.
Amazing.
Or that will happen in my life, because I believe I'm strong enough. And I have now got a supportive mechanism around me.
Okay, that's good.
That you can call on as friends.
Brilliant. That's so important.
You've got your family, if you have the family still. You've got your friends. And if you don't, if they're not right for you, shift.
Yeah.
Take that shift button, take it up a notch, and, you know, change your gears around in your car. See which one.
Yeah.
Analyze your friends.
Yeah, this is
see who your friends are really.
Yeah, so important. So
for me, that's what, I don't regret nothing that has ever happened in my life, because it makes you the woman you are today.
Yeah.
And that life talk is, you can do life coaching, you could do a degree. I don't know if you can do a degree in life coaching. Okay, but what I would do, you know, it's life experiences that teach you how to do things.
Yeah, it is.
You know, living or seeing mental health,
mm-hmm.
you learn from that experience.
You do, yeah.
You know, disability, you learn from it.
Yeah.
Abuse, you learn from it.
I love that, yeah. So every experience is an opportunity for growth.
Yes, definitely.
And that leads me on to my next question, is what has been your greatest lesson?
My life.
Beautiful.
Has been my greatest lesson, because I read, it was either something today that I saw, I mean, I was listening to, and it's like you make your own, you can write your own book, basically.
Yeah.
What has happened in your past is already written, okay? And what we make our life today is down to us.
Yeah.
Because we've wanted to change certain things about us, because we want to change, not because you want me to change. I want to change.
Yeah. Beautiful. Wow.
So we can still write that book and continue writing, you know, write a gratitude of a page of gratitude of, and today I've actually done my first gratitude is doing a podcast with you.
Beautiful.
And I've dated it because it's important, because I've never done a gratitude book. So this is my start of my gratitude book. So thank you, Anu, for giving me this platform to say, hey, guess what? I've got my first gratitude of what I've done today.
Wow, the pleasure is mine. I love hearing inspirational stories, and every story is unique. And I just feel you've got so much to offer.
Yeah.
You know, within the Asian community, within the disability community, mental health community, there's so many people who will benefit from your inspirational message today. And it's been such an honour to have you on. So thank you.
Thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. So, we are coming to the end. And I just wanted to ask what your favourite quote is today.
My favourite quote is, so I was listening to this guy today, and he said, when you fall over, don't fall on your face, because you can't see how you're going to get back up. But if you fall backwards, you can see how you're going to get back up. And that was a quote that stuck in my head this morning, and it's still stuck there. So it's got to mean something. So that we can get back up.
We can. Very optimistic approach to life, basically. Let's not lie face down. Let's lie ready to tackle anything that life throws at us, right? Adversities, exactly. Challenges. Come on.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Take it with both hands. Because if you can't pull yourself up with one hand, get the other hand up. You'll pull yourself up.
That's perfect.
Because you can see where you're going.
Wow. And I hope that listeners out there are listening to this, because just simple visualization techniques like this can really impact your world, you know, your being, can't it? And, you know, we are our thoughts. So if we can keep our thoughts positive and inspirational and just optimistic, then...
Do daily affirmations.
Yeah, so important.
Feel confident with. Write it on a vision board. Tell yourself, I feel love today.
Yeah.
Saying, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to feel loved, not by you, but by me.
Yeah.
I can learn to love me, because love starts within us, not it within somebody else giving you love.
So true. Wow. So where can my listeners find you if they want to connect with you? Social media.
You can email me on Maya, which is maya.joshi@hotmail.co.uk.
Perfect.
So you just email me or inbox Anu, and she can get in touch with me as well.
Excellent.
But listeners, I hope I've inspired you or made you a food for thought of something that's made you think. And it's never your fault. Just remember that.
It's never your fault. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. So on that note, we will have to end. And I do look forward to seeing you all again on the next episode. And in the meantime, stay empowered. And thank you again, Maya. It's been an honour having you on.
Thank you to the listeners, and thank you, Annie.
And while this episode comes to an end, you may want to check out my book, Victim to Victor, now available on audio, and where I have shared my journey of evolving through self-help and a determination to cast off my damaging past. My goal is to reach out to fellow survivors of abuse and provide hope and motivation in their lives. I hope that I can help victors transform their lives and achieve amelioration in the process of discovering their true self. I also have a 12-week self-development plan, which is absolutely free, and it aims to guide you on your journey to recovery. You can find the link in the description below. Please like this podcast and tag or share it with somebody whom you know is going through a similar situation and may need help. I will be back with another podcast soon. Until then, take care and stay empowered.